Good morning and welcome to Words Out Loud, a fortnightly program designed for readers and writers who live in the northern areas. There will be local news, writers' tips, and a chance for you to be involved as well with our five-word challenge. I'm Joanne Baker. Let me introduce today's panel. We have Alex Robinson, poet and administrator.
Good morning, all.
PBA host of Easy Does It and poet Marilyn Simpson.
Hello, everyone.
And here to talk about her novel and her upcoming appearance at the Adelaide Oz Comic Con, self-described scientist, mother, author, and all-round crazy person, Katie Fraser.
Good morning.
First up, let's hear what's been happening in the writer's world in the last fortnight.
Well, we've had two significant events since our last show, the first of which was the Northeastern Writers Extravaganza, and I mean that in the dearest of terms because it was the 10-year anniversary of the
forming of Northeastern Writers.
Yes, of its establishment. So we had a little bit of alcohol, a little bit of cake and fun times and also had Matt Potter go forward and talk about his various publishing houses and how we can be involved there. And also, just on last Sunday, we had Maureen Mitson as far as Poets at the Pub goes. Although she's not a poet, we had her...
She is a poet. Ears off with that one. She is a poet.
Well, she gave us a little bit of information as far as her latest novel, Esther's Wars, and some other details as far as our... little show along with a few local and visiting poets. So it was a good time had by all.
It always is. Maureen's an excellent poet and she has a musical voice. It's just a joy to listen to her lovely Pommy accent. After the break, we'll have the writer's tip of the day with Connie Berg.
Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell.
Hi, come on in, take a seat.
Have a drink and join us for a chat.
Because the best conversations are at the kitchen table.
Join us every Wednesday from 1:30.
PBA FM 89.7.
Welcome to Words Out Loud. This is Connie Berg. Today we're talking about connotation. Connotation refers to a meaning that is implied by a word apart from the thing which it describes explicitly. Words carry cultural and emotional associations or meanings in addition to their literal meanings. For example, Wall Street literally means a street situated in Lower Manhattan, but it also refers to wealth and power. There are positive and negative connotations. Words depend on the social, cultural, and personal experiences of individuals. For example, the word childish, childlike, and youthful have the same denotative but different connotative meanings. Childish and childlike have negative connotations as they refer to immature behavior, whereas youthful implies a person that is lively and energetic. Be careful how you use connotations. Their suggested meanings have different meanings in different cultures. A dog connotates shamelessness or an ugly face. A dove implies peace or geniality. However, home may suggest family comfort and security, or not, depending on what your experience of home may be. Connotation can take the many forms in literature. It can be metaphorical. Shakespeare metaphorically compares thee to a summer day. It can use irony or satire. And it can use allegories. George Orwell's Animal Farm uses allegories in proliferation because the pigs in the novel connotate wicked and powerful people who can change the ideology of a society. Another figure of speech that makes use of connotation is metonymy, which describes a thing by mentioning something else which it's closely connected. For example, Robert Frost's poem Out, Out says, "As he swung toward them, holding up the hand, half in appeal, but half as if to keep the life from spilling." In the line, "the life from spilling," the word life connotates blood. It does make sense because a loss of blood may cause a loss of life. Connotation provides symbolic meanings for words and objects that are different from their literal sense. Connotation paves the way for creativity by using figures of speech. Had writers contented themselves with only the literal meanings of words, there would have been no way to compare abstract ideas to concrete concepts. Connotative meanings of words allow writers to give meaning to their works. For Words Out Loud, this is Connie Berg.
Well, speaking of connotation, just makes me think of the book that I'm currently reading, which is a Terry Pratchett book, one of my personal favourite authors. And in one of the sections of it, it mentions that there was one particular patrician who did not like that sort of colourful conversation. And if you wrote that a woman had a face that launched 1,000 ships, you had better have the shipping manifest to prove it.
I love Terry Pratchett. Small Gods is one of my favourite books of his.
The quote of the day today comes from Ursula K. Le Guin. She says, "A writer is a person who cares what words mean, what they say, and how they say it. Writers know words are their way towards truth and freedom, and so they use them with care, with thought, with fear, with delight."
Lovely quote, that.
89.7 PBAFM, putting the community first.
Now, today we are speaking to first-time author. She is a scientist, a mother, and according to her own words, an all-round crazy person. She is the author of a book called Through the Fig Tree. K.E. Fraser, welcome.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Tell us about your book.
What you're holding there in your hot little hand is my first book entitled Through the Fig Tree. I have initially labelled it as a fantasy novel, but probably looking back and reading a few other books, it should probably be titled a paranormal romance. So there's a bit of a love theme going on. It features a lady named Violet who comes from our world, who meets a gentleman by the name of Daniel, and then discovers that he has travelled through a magical portal in a Moreton Bay fig tree. And he's actually the prince of a country called the Realm of the Lilies. So it sort of follows along their adventures after she follows him through to his world.
Well, a fig tree would be the perfect place to have a portal, I've got to think.
They are huge.
Aren't they massive? This is your first novel?
That is the first novel. I'm hoping that by this weekend I will have my second book in my hot little hands to launch at Oz Comic Con when we head out there this weekend. So the second book is entitled Water Off a Dragon's Back. Obviously, there's also dragons in these books.
I love a good dragon story.
Yeah. Well, especially this one, the main dragon we see is named Pragmoon, and she is iridescent pink and purple, so she's a looker.
Nice.
So this is a standalone book, is it? It's not a sequel to Through the Fig Tree?
Water Off a Dragon's Back is the sequel. So Through the Fig Tree is book one in a series I've called The Realm of the Lilies. And the main storyline will be wrapped up in these two novels so that I can sort of wander off and go and work on some other bits and pieces that I've got in my mind without having people being very upset and waiting 15 years for the conclusion of a story.
Yeah, there are a few people who get a little jacked off if you don't finish your series.
Yeah, but I will name drop Isabel Carmody is one of my pet peeve authors for that very fact. She started writing Ober Newton when I was in the year I was born, I think, and she only finally finished it last year. So I was waiting a very long time for that book.
Oh, patience. That's intense. Now, you're doing an author talk at Oz Comic Con. Tell us about that.
I am. So I was present at Supernova last year. So Oz Comic Con is my second outing with my books. And we noticed through the course of doing bookings that Oz Comic Con have a community stage where you can actually apply to do a presentation. So I've got together a group of other local authors, so all Adelaide-based authors. There will be myself, Karen J. Carlisle, who you had on your show a couple of weeks ago, who writes steampunk novels. We've got Alex James, who is a science fiction author, and we've got Kylie Lean, who writes books that are epics to the level of Tolkien. She puts so much detail in her worlds. And then my other friend Matt Pike, who I'm actually working with and holding a stall. So between the five of us, we've probably got almost or more than 20 books, and they're all independently published. So we'll be going through the processes of writing your book, and then how to get it e-print or paperback ready. So talking about having to do your cover art and all of your editing and proofing and typesetting. And then we'll explain how you actually get your book out there and publicising and spreading the word and appearing at conventions and all that sort of stuff. So that will be very interesting. That will be Sunday the 2nd of April at 3 o'clock. So if you do happen to be at Oz Comic Con, please drop by the community stage and fill some seats for us.
It sounds wonderful. Well, why don't you tell us some of the processes that you had to go through to get your book published?
Well, the first challenge was writing it.
That is the biggest challenge, let's face that.
So through the Fig Tree, I think I actually started writing over 5.5 years ago, and it sort of lingered at about the 20,000 word mark for probably 3-4 years with me trying to get a few more bits in here and there, and you know, I had two little kids, so yeah,
you had a life you had to live around.
It was hard work for a little while. So sort of last January I sort of went, right, come on, let's get some work done, we'll sit down. So I got the bulk of the writing for that done and launched it as an ebook in May last year, and I probably launched that slightly prematurely. Probably hadn't proofread it quite enough, so for the first 6 months or so it was probably full of typos, which I'm mortified by. But then when it came about that I learned about print-on-demand publications, so there's actually a company called Ingram Spark where you can list your books, and basically from their website it goes on websites like Waterstones, Barnes & Noble, and it will go on Amazon as well. And they actually have printers here in Melbourne. So if you need to get your books in a hurry, you can generally do that, which is why I'm desperately hoping I'll have my second book by Saturday. So, but once you get that, you sort of need to work in and work out what size format you want the book in, work out what sort of cover art you want, make sure everything fits, write your blurb, which I'm not very good at, and make sure that everything's typeset and up to spec. So, and then you actually get the book and you have to try and sell it.
That's the hardest bit, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
The second hardest bit. Writing is the hardest.
Writing is the first, yeah, probably. And then getting people to actually read it can also be, you know, kind of difficult as well.
Now, where do you get your ideas from? This is something that we always ask.
Are always curious about.
Yeah.
This one, actually, I still remember I was just sitting on the bus one day and I just heard the first line from this book. Like she turned to watch him leave, her emotions reeling from their farewell, and that just sort of popped into my mind, and from there the story evolved. So I know there are lots of people who sort of plan out what they're going to write and what they're going to say. There are people who, you know, plan everything to the point of having 100-word summaries for each chapter. I'm not like that. Things that happened in both of my books were as much a surprise to me as they will be to the reader. So
I think that's kind of the best way to do it.
Organic sort
of
thing.
I've seen people who have these walls of spreadsheets that, you know, this character does this, that and the other, and, you know, I get lost in that sort of planning. I don't know. I just need to see whether – I like being surprised by my characters.
So, I sort of do – I'll have a rough idea of where it's going to go and then sort of go, oh, that popped up in the middle there. Wasn't expecting that.
It's amazing when all of a sudden, you know, you've written the majority of the story, and then near the end you go, oh, so that's why they did that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And a few things in the second book were suggested by my sister. She's like, you know, this guy here, he's done this and that, so, you know, he could probably come in somewhere. I'm like, oh, really? But the next story that I'm aiming to write is actually about a time-travelling cat. And the inspiration for that story comes from a photograph that we took in an airport in Queenstown of a cat, which when we actually looked back, looks remarkably similar to the cat that we have now. So
it's the cat.
It's the cat, yeah. So pretty sure my cat Mickey is a time traveller.
That sounds like an awesome story.
Yeah,
I must hear it. Lots of cat lovers out there will love cat stories.
Oh, look, I can only hope. You've just got to try and get the right level of probably just how much cats are completely disinterested in other sort of life.
The arrogance of them. Yeah. Complete and utter disdain for the life.
Pretty
Aloof
much.
Of sorts.
That's the one.
So I've got to try and work out how I can get a cat to save people whilst, you know, cats generally don't
well,
like
they don't people care.
At all. Exactly. So you I've got to find a lever for this cat.
Oh, it's usually self-interest, isn't it?
Yeah. So probably, you know,
he
if saves I
don't them because otherwise he can't open a can.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's it. No opposable thumb.
If I don't save my humans, no one's going
to
feed me.
Exactly. And I have to eat dead human.
Or you know, pigeons just aren't quite fulfilling.
Yeah, that's true. What's next on your list of things to do?
Well, there will be that story, the cat story, and then I also read something on something that's come up on Imgur or something about someone saying, why is it always young girls who go out and do the rescuing, you know, all these young attractive things. I want an 80-year-old walking around with her frame who has to go through the forest and save humankind. So that's something I'm going to try and work on too.
Oh, I've just had an idea of an urban version of that.
Oh, yeah?
An urban Zuma frame.
Granny, yeah.
Granny, yeah. I could see that. Yep, I can really picture an old woman who bashes criminals.
Getting about with her knitting needles knitting baby blankies and cardigans while she's got her, you know, 20-odd-year-old male orderly going, just remember to take your pills on time. Come on.
You do have a heart problem. I can see
this is not good for your blood pressure.
And she would barrack for the crows.
Oh.
Of course she'd barrack for the crows. The crows rule.
No.
She's a knitter.
No, she follows
better
motorsport.
Better than a criminal. Oh, no, football season's upon us. We're already starting. If people want to get hold of your books, how do they go about it?
You can find me on Facebook and Twitter. So my Facebook page is KE_Fraser_IndieAuthor. And I'm also on Twitter as KE_Fraser_Author. So you can get hold of me, you can contact me through Facebook to place orders, or my books are also on Amazon.
Now, we have a copy of Through the Fig Tree for the first caller through on 8250 3735. We'll get a signed copy of Through the Fig Tree by K.E. Fraser. You're listening to Words Out Loud on PBAFM 89.7. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook. After this short break, we'll play our latest radio drama by a local author. And following that, we'll have your chance to be involved with the 5-word challenge. So get your pencil and paper ready.
If you're an adult who has difficulties with reading, writing or spelling, the Reading Writing Hotline has some very good news. It can actually be easier to take the plunge and improve your reading and writing skills than to keep putting it off. Phone the Reading Writing Hotline and find out how. Their number is 1300 655 06. That's the Reading Writing Hotline, and they're there to help.
1300 655 06.
Go on, take the plunge.
This is a PBA FM radio drama, Blood Spilt, by F.J. Willett.
I broke in, through the window. I was quite professional about it, no shattering glass or anything like that. I use a flat steel ruler. Some guys prefer a hacksaw blade. You just file the teeth off it. Slips down inside your boot. Trousers over it, nobody knows it's there. But it's a hell of a thing to explain away if the police pull you up. It's a breaking and entering tool, no two ways about it. A flat steel ruler is ambiguous.
What do you mean I'm a thief? I draw C, I got pencils, here's my art diary. I need a ruler, okay?
Well, it's hard to prove a ruler is not just a ruler, especially when I carry the pencils and the diary. And as long as you only take cash, you're never going to be sprung for possession either. Money is essentially untraceable. Well, mostly. There are corner cases, of course, but I pride myself on being methodical, logical and professional. So I broke into this house. I was careful. Too many places have burglar alarms these days. Or window locks. You've got to be careful. And I am. I'm careful. Very careful. I checked. There were no alarms, no window locks. Just plain old-fashioned windows that you can pop open with a steel ruler. Push up the window and you're inside. Simple as that. So I'm in the room. It's a spare room. Down the side of a house. An old house. You know the type. A central hall runs front to back. Rooms on either side. The two rooms at the front are the main bedroom one side of the hall and a sitting room come lounge on the other. The kitchen is a room right at the back. So I went in the kitchen first. A house like this is probably owned by a little old lady. And looking at the furniture and the crockery around the kitchen, I'm obviously right. And 9 times out of 10, little old ladies like this put their money in a tea caddy, or one of the containers in the kitchen cabinet. So I searched, and there it was, a little caddy called Tea, stuffed with money. Mostly $50 bills, few hundreds. Must have been a couple of thousand all up, easy. So I straightened out the notes, put them in my wallet. There's nothing to say I didn't have the money in my wallet all along. No notes hastily stuffed into pockets or anything like that. Professional. I've always prided myself on being that, being professional, yeah. So I started back up the passage. Door on the left, over to the window. Got 1 foot out the window when someone or something hits me. Honest to God, you can still see the lump on my head. When I comes to, there are coppers all over the house, and they're saying I murdered the little old lady in the front bedroom. I protest a lot, saying that I was hit on the head and couldn't have killed anybody. But the coppers don't listen much until a copper detective turns up and says he wants to hear what I've got to say for myself. Well, I says, I never went into the front bedroom, but there's blood all over my sleeve and there's a fold-out switchblade in my pocket with blood all over that. What's more, there's blood on my shoe and a shoe print in the blood in the bedroom that matches my shoes. Well, I says, that's all very well, but what about the lump on my head? I suppose I murders this little old lady, then hits myself over the head so I can't get away. Pure chance, says the copper detective. It seemed there's this broken vase, a whopping great thing that the detective says must have been on top of the wardrobe. It's broken on the floor, and it looks like there's blood and hair on it. The detective says I must have bumped into the wardrobe in the dark. The vase fell off and cracked me on the head. I was caught by a twist of fate. I tries to explain. I had 1 foot out the window. I couldn't have bumped the wardrobe. And vases don't fly across the room by themselves. But the copper detective nods and books me anyway. It's an open and shut case, he says. Trouble is, I can't see he's wrong.
That was Blood Spilt by F.J. Willett. It was read by Mike Hurd. This was a PBA FM radio drama.
We took our words from last fortnight's five-word challenge from Bella Buchanan's latest book, A Bride for the Brooding Boss. And the words were mesmerised, wishing, priority, special and refused. And here's my effort as far as those five words go. They were mesmerised by their thoughts, alcohol in their minds, altered with differing perspectives, wishing this liquid poison could be their special go-to fluid. But many have before them a priority to be avoided in Arabic countries, refused service in riads and restaurants, whether a writer or a serendipitous traveller, wondering whether writing drunk would improve his inner author when he edited his screed sober.
As someone who has tried that particular experiment, there is a certain freedom to a certain degree, and then your words end up being absolutely meaningless.
And blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Very bland.
I've got a quote here from, I've got the five-word story from Colleen Moyle. Captivated, mesmerised, I saw the promise in your eyes, that special way you looked at me like I was your priority. I asked you then to be my wife, to live with me and share my life, but wishing does not make it so. You refused and let me go.
I think that one's a beautiful one. I think yes. She did a really great job.
Yeah. Very good.
This one is from Laurel Sanderlands. Here I am, feeling mesmerised, wishing this colonoscopy wasn't a special priority. The alarm is about to sound for another glass of that nauseous drink. Oh, how I wish it could be refused.
Thank you so much for that one. That was a lot of sharing. The one I've written is, when I met you, I was mesmerised. You became my one priority. I spent too many hours wishing, hoping, deluding myself that, to you, I was special. Then one day, I decided I deserved better. I refused to be your sycophant. I became my own priority. I watched you in my rearview mirror as I drove on to a better life.
Oh, well done, you. That's a good one. This is my little bit of nonsense for the day. In this sorority, it is a priority that those wishing to go fishing will be refused. We are not amused. Special permission from the commission must be sought before bait is bought. Of course, we can be mesmerised by visions of whiting before our eyes.
Well done, Marilyn. I'm so impressed.
Indeed, very very special effort.
Bit of insight into some other hobbies that are shared by people in your household.
No, not really. That was totally word driven.
Beautiful.
I love it.
Okay, for this fortnight, we're looking at our five words being taken from Through the Fig Tree by Kate Fraser. And they're more phrases than individual words, as you'll find out in a second. So if you've got your pen and paper ready, the words are thump, Moreton Bay fig, escalator, violet, and ache. And I'll say them again. Thump, Moreton Bay fig, escalator, violet, and ache. And once you've had a go at putting those five words together in a prose or poetry form, taking about 10 minutes or so, we'd love to hear from you as far as being able to read them on a forthcoming program. You can email them to wordsoutloud.pba@gmail.com, post them on our Facebook page, which is Words Out Loud, or send them to PO Box 433 Salisbury 5108. Okay, as far as coming events goes, we've got Carolyn Corden's regular Sunday jaunt as far as Poetic Justice Cafe Gallery. She's there from 11:30 onwards doing her poetry sessions. Adelaide Plains Poets has their poetry competition closing on the 13th of April. The competition is based on the topic of freedom, and for more information you can have a look at the Adelaide Plains Poets page on Facebook or call Carolyn Corden on 0418 806 490.
And as usual, the Paddocks Writing Group has its weekly meeting every Wednesday from 12 o'clock, I think it is, at the Paddocks Community Centre. Northeastern Writers, every third Thursday of each month, the Tea Tree Gully RSL at 7:30.
Till 9:30.
Till 9:30.
And just the last reminder as far as the Tea Tree Gully poet... Tea Tree Gully Poetry Competition, the theme is In the Wild, and you can get details on the net.
And our guest author has an upcoming event.
Yeah, so we've got coming up this weekend, the 1st and 2nd of April, Oz Comic Con, which is a pop culture convention that tours Australia. So you'll have a host of local independent authors there, including myself. There are other independent authors who travel from interstate. So there's a whole artist alley of both novels and comic books that are made. And there are also a few big name authors as well, like the previously mentioned Isabel Carmody and Kylie Chan in print. And there's also some comic artists and authors as well, Andrew Constant, Paul Mason, Stuart McKenney, just to name a few of them. So if you do find some time free, head down there, check out the big name authors as well as some of the indies, and you might find something interesting and new.
Wonderful stuff. Well, thank you everyone for being part of the show. Thank you, Katie.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Marilyn.
Yep, see you real soon.
And thank you everyone for listening.
Paperback Writer. This is PBA.